We'll call the TIF committee meeting to order at 5:45. And members here is Dave Livingston, Brad Ward, and then we have Sally Clark, Jimmy Long, Kendall Muller, and the mayor here. Steve Klein is present, so you guys got more questions for him regarding TIF. I think somebody had brought up something about putting a cap on how much an individual can get over the years. I don't know if you wanted to check into that.
One thing I'd like to ask, like when we give TIF money to a business and they use it and we reimburse them, you know, as they go along, then all of a sudden they put their property up for sale. I just feel like they just used us to improve their property for their own benefit.
You know, that happens sometimes, but I think that what we need to kind of keep in mind, and you're not the only ones that brought that up, is that the spirit of tax increment financing and the spirit of TIF
is still improve the business.
What we're trying to do is improve the property.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as long as you're comfortable and you're confident that the incentives you're providing is helping increase the value of that property, I would be less concerned about how long they stay. Unless it's a loan or there's some, you've done something where we're trying to make sure they stay there for some period of time.
See, okay. I think you're exactly right, and that's why I think we need to set up some guidelines on this TIF. I've thought this a long time ago and just never did it. And one thing I think is exactly what you're saying. You have to own or run that for 3 years or 5 years or something, or else pay us the money back.
See, I agree with you. You've improved the business or the building, the property. Well, that's what the whole intent is. Whether they keep that business there or somebody else buys the business and runs it from there, we're still getting the value out of it.
You can find a happy medium between your concerns and yours, because in these agreements you could say, you know, maybe there is some minimum. You want them to be there at least a year or two or whatever after they've been reimbursed. But sometimes if they sell the property, they may be selling it to someone who will do yet more improvements to the building that they wouldn't have otherwise done. So you don't want to necessarily discourage that, but it depends on the amount that you're reimbursing and how comfortable you are with that project.
You know, right here in this paper, we gave Jimmy Long's doings, sorry, but I had to say that, I was forced. We gave $5,300 for a sign at Archie's that they were barely open, and now the place is totally closed.
Correct, but they're still paying the property. The value of the property is still
there.
Yeah, but I doubt the sign doesn't anything.
Actually, the value of the property is more than what it was before they even started, so that's the whole purpose of TIF. The whole purpose of TIF is to rehabilitate.
Okay.
Yeah, make the taxes go up, and then we get the advantage of the
next thing I think, you'll like this. I don't think that we should be giving money out to do interior work. I think it should have to be visible outside work on the building. Interior work does not increase the taxes. It doesn't do anything. You know, and I think you feel the same way about that. We shouldn't be remodeling apartments.
Like beer coolers and flower coolers and
yeah.
That kind of thing.
One of my other thoughts was, I had a lot of thoughts on this, getting ready for this. There ought to be a limit how much any one person or their business can get.
Well, we need a uniform or
yeah, like you can only, if you come six times, you can only get $50,000 total or some amount. I don't know what the amount is. And the what was the last one I was thinking?
Well, I think I was wondering why, I mean, when one person owns the building and the renter, we're giving them the renter money. I don't know if that's right.
Or should it go to the person that owns the building?
Yeah, that person should be requesting the TIF.
Right. not the renter.
Well, that's what happened with the boutique. It was given to the renters and not the owner.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Exactly.
But again, where improvements made. But you can reimburse leasehold improvements if it's going to improve the site, the building, the space.
And that's what was done.
Which makes it more inhabitable for the next business. We can't guarantee, no one can guarantee that a business is going to survive.
No. The whole thing, it's just, I mean, it's written right here. I mean, the purpose of TIF district is to utilize tax increments financing to attract more population, increase employment opportunities, expand and diversify the local tax base, manage growth, and increase the overall value and quality of life of the city of Lewisdale. Mm-hmm. So it's pure and simple. It's just to...
And one of my other thoughts was that if you come, I don't care who you are, you come in here and you have a $20,000 project, the most we should give anybody's half of it. They need to put some of themselves into this project. You know, I want to help them out and I want to fix things up and blah, blah, blah. I disagree a little bit about whether they should be able to sell it or not, but we're all not going to agree on everything. But I don't
think... I definitely think they got to have skin in the game, but sometimes that's purchasing the property, or could be.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think we should put the whole bill on everything. You know?
Oh, I don't either.
When they come in, if they got a $20,000 project, we can award them $10,000 of it. And I think on the same token, after they come, like some of these people have, read the list, after they come three or four times and they get up to the $50,000 mark, they're done.
I don't think you can actually, I think TIF is actually a project by project. I don't think you can set a...
No.
Yeah, because what if somebody comes in and has a...
Well, they keep improving the building and the business.
Yeah, I think
these are all policy decisions that you can discuss, and any of the things you've talked about are possible or doable.
Yeah.
It's just that you're also correct in that no two projects are ever going to be identical.
No.
They're not the same people necessarily. They're not the same kind of business.
It seems to me like we got the same people on the revolving chart here,
but
you know.
Because they're the only ones brave enough to buy something and try to build.
So BFW,
start a business.
I mean, they've been here, what, three times?
Yeah.
And they're getting her done. Who else? The liquor store. He's getting her done. He's got her done. Looks like he decreased the value of that property.
And, you know, you're saying nothing inside, but electrical and plumbing is helping the building.
But I think he's talking like, you don't want to replace a furnace or a hot water heater.
Yeah, well, and if it's anything removable, you can't. It doesn't.
That's
isn't
why
covered,
it's a case
right?
by case. That's why it's a case by case that you got to look at that case and say, okay, yeah, we can only give you $10,000. We usually don't do this, but we can give you $10,000 because we can see that it's going to increase the value of that property.
Well, I would encourage you also to consider whether they're coming back to the trough repeatedly just to improve the building, or are they generating sales tax for the city? Are they going to generate another part-time or full-time job?
Mm-hmm.
Are they introducing more space for another business? Is it a new business versus one that's been here? I mean,
well, I think we've had a little bit of both.
Welcome to new business.
We've definitely had a business that's been here that comes back and
yeah,
might be a little more.
Yeah. You tend to be a little more generous if it's a new business, going to generate sales tax, going to create another job or two. Mm-hmm. You know, versus someone who comes back and they're continually, perhaps only trying to make their property look better, but they're not adding a lot of value that you perceive to the TIF fund or to your economic development efforts. So it's a judgment call. I will tell you that, and you may be approached at some point by someone who will say, well, you could distill all this down to some kind of a scoring matrix. You could come up with a whole list of criteria and say, all right, they score an 8 on that, they score a 6, they score a 3 or whatever. And you add it up, depending on where they end up on the score, that's what you give them. There's a lot of towns going to that, okay? There's a big downside to that, in my view. Now, I'm old school, I'm nearing retirement, I've been doing this a long time. I tend to think that you do need to look at all of the considerations, and that there's a human element there that needs to make the leadership decision as to the extent to which the city wants to move the throttle on its incentives, forward or backward. And you cannot always distill that down to a number and quantify it. You could use that to get you to a certain point, but eventually you need to look at them, in my view, you need to look at them on a case-by-case basis. Who's doing the work? What are they going to produce? Are they generating other revenue for the city? Are they increasing the assessed value? They're not? Well, then we probably won't be as generous, right? So you need to make those decisions on each project. And
can't really set uniform rules.
Well, you can have some general, you can. I mean, Canton for years now with, not so much with TIF, but with their, they have a business district. And the business district they created also imposes with that an additional 1% sales tax. So the sales tax money they're generating within that business district, they've been doing a lot of facade work, a lot of grants, and that type of thing. They keep track of how much a single property or a person has been generating. And they monitor that. They also, for kind of similar basic projects that are kind of fixer-upper, facade-type, things that maybe are less than $25,000 typically, they kind of have an ongoing rule of thumb of maybe not to exceed 25% of the total project cost. And they'll reimburse a lump sum, one-time reimbursement.
Is that by written policy, or do they... They just put some standard policy, like that's
why
we do things.
For the longest time, it was just a spoken, kind of an understood rule of thumb. They are beginning to more formalize some of these standards and these policies, if you will, or guidelines now. And they are actually beginning to use somewhat of a checklist matrix type thing, but... I keep trying to encourage them and other towns. It's fine to have kind of your check the box here and there. Does this project meet certain requirements that you want it to meet? But at the end, before you render an opinion, you need to instill that human element and decide, is this good for the community? Is it going to help further
the flower shop? Wouldn't give them all that money for that. It's a lot of money.
Yes.
But look what they've done with it, too. That end of town is a lot brighter. I mean, she's doing good as a business, and it just, I'm sure it increased the taxes of the properties next to her.
Yeah.
Because it brightened it. But I got a question.
That's because she wants to. I mean, her whole heart's in that business.
Sure,
and
that's
she
what I'm
wants
saying.
to make it work. Some of these people we give TIF money to, I doubt whether they really wanted it to work. They just come and got money and thought maybe this is an easier way out.
Well, they don't get it unless they do the work. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
They have
and
to do that work
if
they don't get it.
This is their thinking, though.
That's another thing you got to look at, the individual and your question.
It's almost like you're saying each one has their own individual policy.
Everybody plays politics.
You have basic criteria, some of which, no, I'm sorry, what's your name?
David.
David is talking about it. You may have some basic criteria you want all these projects to conform to. But I think before you render a decision, you have to come back and look at some of the qualitative aspects of the project, who it is, what are they going to actually produce for you, and what's the inherent value to you?
A lot of business in this town. This town has, our business is not great. You know, we don't have a lot of business up and down Main Street or around the courthouse. I mean, they're all empty. You know, it's not like Canton. Canton's thriving. Havana's thriving. Farmington's thriving. We don't have that here. You know, I went through Farmington today and thought, oh, God, I wish we had this.
Sure.
But he said a lot of those buildings there on Main Street in Farmington did do this.
Exactly.
That facade.
And they wanted, and the people that owned the building
wanted to do that.
We, the people that own the buildings, don't want to do anything.
They don't want to spend any money.
I got a question on the buildings that we have here that... We had the engineers come look at it, do the structural thing, because we're trying to help people move these buildings so we can turn them into something, because our tax base again. There's a group called Land Bank, and I'm sure you're aware of Land Bank. And right now, if we did Land Bank, it's cost us around $6,000. Is this something that we can use TIF money on to go in with Land Bank and have them take care of rejuvenating the building?
Potentially, yes. As long as it's an eligible, TIF-eligible expense, you can pretty much enter into a contract with whoever you need to in order to get it done.
And that way it's on them to help sell them buildings, help turn them buildings into what they should be turned into. Or knows them or whatever.
I'm not suggesting that you would do this, ever. I'm just telling you there are some towns who are so tired of seeing dilapidated buildings fall into further disrepair that the city uses TIF money to buy the property.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you either save it or you tear it down. You make space for something new.
And that's legal.
It's absolutely is.
Yeah, I've heard that a few times with a...
Because it's our TIF money.
There is a lot that's been doing that.
And as long as it's a TIF district, then we can.
As long as it's in the TIF district.
Yeah.
You can do that. That's something you can do. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it's easy to get it over your head, too.
Yeah.
A few years ago, Canton bought a spot on the east side of the square, built a new building. Mm-hmm. What happened not long after that? There's a gas explosion.
Yeah.
Opera House was lost, and it damaged that new building that they had built. And it took them a while to sell it. But if you're thinking in terms of, okay, well, if we had a building that we could renovate and maybe create some kind of a incubation area where you could help young businesses who might be operating out of their homes, get them to move uptown.
Yeah.
And have a spot
that.
There
yes.
at a low rent or a reasonable lease.
Something we can do with
we're talking about buildings
you can do that
you can't
save. Incubator.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're,
yeah, might be a good
they've
idea.
Been termed
yeah.
unsafe.
Then in that case, if, I mean, and again, I'm just talking out loud, but if you had the money available in your TIF fund and you wanted to purchase the property and you could acquire it,
and sell it,
then all the demolition is TIF eligible as well, all the cleanup. So you just have to be careful.
We just got to get them to sell it.
If you take one of those buildings down, was that due to the ones next door? And
yeah,
so
common buildings.
I thought somebody said he set a price on it already.
On what?
Did you say that?
No.
Who said that? Art Jones.
Aaron said that.
Aaron said that, but I don't remember how much it was.
$6,000 said it was up to her for $6,000.
$6,000.
Yeah.
So we could buy that building for $6,000. And tear it down.
With TIF money.
With TIF money.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what I'd like to see is save the front, tear the back down, save the front, redo the front, make it look like it did back in the early 1800s, and the backside, parking lots, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I know, originally, a long time ago, the ones at Duke and that, or who, somebody that owned the pub at the time,
yeah.
wanted to put it like a beer garden out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now Duke's son is, I think, wanting to open.
But my question is, if something like that, then so we'd have to have engineers. I mean, you tear that building
yes.
down, what's going with it?
Yes.
They share a common
yeah.
wall. I mean,
yeah.
you
if they have their own wall, then.
The yes. Miller Shoe Store shares the wall with the Jones Building.
Jones Building?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that
is what
who owns,
Craig said.
Who owns, Art owns that one too? The Miller Shoe Store, who owns that?
Yeah,
he owns
yeah.
two
of them.
Yeah.
Both of them.
He owns both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And see, actually, the worst part of that building is the back part that they built on later years.
Yeah.
That's all bad. The front part could be actually saved.
I just love the face of them, you know,
yeah.
and what are we going to put in there, you know.
You brought up the idea, and this is one thing that I keep bugging my wife about, but I think this community needs it, and is the incubator.
Yeah.
Is do an incubator for people that want to start a business, but don't really have a place to start a business, and you set it up for them, they can come in and learn the ropes and
start. It was in one of these Illinois Municipal League
yes.
books, if you guys saw it.
You can start a business, and that might be used for, that's what I'm telling her, that might be used for this building.
He might be able to partner with a community college to create something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
We just have to get somebody interested.
Or with the school
yeah.
district. sometimes there could be some innovative ways to work with the school district to create an apprenticeship-type business in the community that needs office space or, you know, some place where they'd have a copy machine and computer.
Well, they'd have to build something because there's no salaries in these places. They've been condemned.
Well, yeah, that's another question. Who's your city attorney now?
Nathan Collins.
That would be some questions for Nathan. I'm sure you're asking him anyway, but they get to a point where you may need to condemn them if they're public safety.
We had a discussion last month, the last 2 weeks ago. We had that brief discussion about that 2 weeks ago with you.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to go through the rigmarole.
It's a process.
Building down.
Yeah.
But did he say $6,000 for both the buildings or just one of the buildings?
Why shouldn't specify that?
I think both.
Both?
I think that's what she meant.
And then the boutique building, it.
Swallow says that can be.
That could be redone.
Redone.
I can't see.
I think only like one or two apartments actually burned.
See, if you did something like that, you were able. And let's say the building has to come down and you clean up the spot. If somebody comes along and they wanted to build something in there, then you just make sure you recapture your $6,000 out of the first new money that that project generates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you start reimbursing them.
Yeah.
Right? You get your cost back.
You just gotta get some money in it.
Or you get it back through the sale of the property. But
about the only building that's really worth anything in that block is the pub, isn't it? Structurally?
Yeah.
Well, the cost law of this building is probably okay.
Yeah.
Brick building.
I think the apartments at the end are okay.
The apartments are okay. Justin Higgins owns those.
Yeah, they're fine. It's just them two buildings there, that the shoe store and the other one.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I don't even know who was in it.
Well, then maybe we ought to think about purchasing them.
The boutique hasn't been touched.
Well, there's a thing on the agenda that talks about these two buildings.
Okay, thank you, David.
So, by God, we'll talk about it.
By God, David, we'll talk about it.
I found something
when I was cleaning that I got to read.
I got one thing for you. In the same business district, let's say around the courthouse, around the square, sidewalks, road, storm drains, any of that?
All the public infrastructure within your TIF area is a TIF eligible expense.
Okay.
There we go.
I thought I heard from Keith which he mentioned. When you build better like that, some don't see it, but then that business coming in knows,
yes.
I got sewer that's newer, I got water that's newer, yes. My storm drains, my sidewalk, blacktop, so that's something to think about in the business district too.
Yeah.
I know
and
Keith,
that stuff isn't, I believe Keith said, all that's going to be hired out and with us be prevailing wage.
It does.
Yeah.
So I wish we
could just designate all the TIF money as the cities this year.
Wouldn't that be great?
It would be. And we use it just for...
Ma'am, couldn't we do something?
We can. All we got to do is say no.
Yeah.
You go, David.
You, me and Brad are the only... No, you said no last week. I forgot. Me and Brad are... Well, you said no once this year.
Yep.
If you want to pause your private redevelopment incentives for a period of time or reduce them so that you can focus on more public infrastructure improvements, which could include purchasing a property and cleaning it up, you'd have the flexibility to be able to do
that. We can do that.
Certainly.
Okay.
Yeah, you want it for businesses.
Think about that.
Let me,
guys.
I'll talk to Erin. I'll see her tomorrow. Let me talk to her. She's got some ideas.
Okay.
There may be something we can
build. Do you see anything wrong with that?
I try to look at a lot of them downtown.
Do you see anything wrong with that?
No.
Causing?
Well, no, I think we're taking care of the city.
We're frustrated right now.
We are very frustrated.
I don't like to pause the whole thing, though.
You don't want to just kill it. But
no, we won't kill it, but we'll give us a chance to.
You know,
if you have a certain amount you want to save.
Yeah, just like 75,000 or I don't know.
You know the gas? Let's restrict amounts. If people come in wanting 20, let's give them 10.
We can always do that. That's case-by-case basis.
I can't vote on that.
What?
I can't vote on that. I think it's still got to be base-by-base.
Yeah. Well, kind of, yeah.
I mean, maybe just for 1 year.
Look at the project and then say, hey, we can only... Because I think we've done pretty good. We can usually pick what we want to give.
It depends on too many factors and who it is.
Yeah.
Keith.
Well, I think it's to be.
I know you're not supposed to be judgmental of who it is, but.
I am.
You gotta be judgmental of who it is.
I don't think so.
The thing is, they don't use it, they don't get the money anyways. If they don't do anything, they don't get the money.
Yeah, they don't get the money, they don't do anything.
So.
Be sure and ask Keith Platt. I think he's on your agenda.
Oh, no, I don't think he is.
No, he's not on.
He's on there, but he may not be here.
Yeah, he doesn't always come. We just put him on there. Yeah.
Anyway, you can ask him sometime. In Canton, when they had the gas explosion, which windows did not blow out? They were the ones that Tiff had helped replace.
Huh.
With high-tempered glass.
Really? That's good to know.
So there, those were private.
Yeah.
Improvements, but if you want, you can look at a downtown or a, like around the square. You know, even though you might create a program to encourage people to replace windows and fix the facades of these buildings, it in essence is still kind of a public project that you're undertaking, because you're, overall, you're trying to make that, you're designating that square area, which is within your TIF area.
Yeah.
As a main focus of what we're trying to do.
It's a community focus, not an individual focus.
Yeah, I've got.
And then you could work on the sidewalks.
Paint brushes out and everything.
Other things that you might need. Streetlights.
And you'll buy the first gallon.
And I'll buy the first gallon.
That's right.
This is encouraging.
Just have to agree on what we're doing.
Well, we're gonna have to.
It's work.
I think we're doing pretty good.
I think we need to have a meeting. Everybody go home with your own thoughts. Come to me, bring your thoughts, write down on paper.
Yeah, and have another TIF meeting.
Yeah.
To discuss everything.
If you want to set up some formal guidelines, we can help you do that. I would just caution you not to make them so stringent, so tight, that someone who might be interested in Lewiston will see that and then say, well, what's the point of even trying?
Yeah, somebody wants to do something that's a.
You certainly can.
But I think it has to go by individual.
$300,000 or $400,000.
But I think some of David's concerns are.
You gotta set some bounds, but you gotta be flexible.
We can do those with council policy, correct? I mean, just the committee policy is.
I can think we can ask them what their goal is. I mean, we can ask them, do you believe that you're going to hire an employee?
Right.
Do you believe that, what do you see in your future? How much do you see this building increasing as far as?
And that's on that form. I mean, it says how many employees are gonna have.
We need to discuss that form thoroughly in our meeting when that person comes up and asks for this money. And we discuss that.
I think if we just go too fast and we don't study everything, we don't ask enough questions.
We can ask for more information.
What do you want?
Simple Buildings are a real good example of this. He comes in here and on his paper, it says $25,000, and I'm gonna build a new building that costs $300,000. Well, I don't think he's building a new building now.
No, he's not. He's campsite somewhere else.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I, maybe he intended on it right then. I'm sure even he did intend on it.
Yeah, and I talked to him a couple times, and he did plan on building a new building for a while.
So what is he going to do with that property now that we paid him to clean that?
Apparently park a trailer on it for advertising.
Dirty City Drive, there's gonna be vendors there, that's all I know.
I think he just thought about building a new building and hadn't checked into what a new building was gonna cost.
Well, it said on that paper $300,000.
But I'm agreeing, it didn't.
Because I thought exactly what I was supposed to think. I thought, Jesus criminy, if we're getting this old building tore down and we're gonna have a $300,000 building there, that's gonna make some money.
I thought the same thing, David.
But it did improve the property.
So.
Yeah, it improved the property.
It didn't improve the taxes.
No, no, well, I don't know.
It was improved the taxes.
No, it lowered them, I'll guarantee you.
Oh, yeah.
Because the building's not there. Even if that building's a piece of shit, you're still paying taxes on it. You know.
The TIF application form that we provide you, this gives us enough information typically to be able to help frame up some options for you with regard to how you might incentivize it. There isn't any reason why you can't supplement this application with another page of questions that you may have if you want to go into your.
But I But I think we need to do that, I really.
And we can just add that on.
Absolutely, if we ask them in here to describe their project, and, you know, you would think we're asking a seventh grader to write a 20-page essay.
I know, it looks like.
They can always attach more information, and we would prefer that they would. If they have estimates or bids, attach them.
We always tell them that we need their bids.
I think we really need to call a meeting on just this, and everybody bring in written thoughts, not verbal, but written. And, but we could pause just a little bit of.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you agree, David?
I think we need to look at it and do something very much. I've thought this a long time, and I guess I just didn't think I could convince anybody else.
I just don't, I guess the bottom line is, I don't like our city to be taken advantage of. I think that's the whole bottom line, because we're good people.
In the end, if they take the money and they improve the property, you're not getting taken advantage of.
No.
And if they sell the property for more value, that helps you in the long run also.
But we can articulate in the agreements what your expectations are.
But.
Set those in there, if that's something that you can help us formulate.
If they're remodeling an apartment, we're not accomplishing anything.
Yeah, that I don't think we should.
I need to get your happy medium on that, you know, like, I agree with Bigway too, you know, do the inside, I understand the business aspect, people come in, or the apartments. But I think working on both sides of that is, if you give it for the inside, maybe we'd like to see this done on the outside. If we give you the 20,000, we want to see this done with your outside, well, that's written in, if they don't do that work, well then.
Then they don't get the money.
Then they don't get the money, but I push them to maybe put in a new front door, put in at least your windows up on this side, we'd like to see that done with this. That's what I would say.
So maybe not less than a third of their project has to be exterior.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like, I mean.
That I can get on board with, because then that's helping both aspects of the inside, but it's also helping the appearance of our town, slowly but surely.
Come up with your lists of your wishes, and we'll work with you and see if we can help you set something together as far as guidelines that you may want to adopt.
Okay.
Okay.
Good question.
I think it worked pretty good for a small town.
If we had gobs of money and was a little bit bigger, it would be easier. I mean, it wouldn't matter.
But I also think if you set your limit and say, this is all we're gonna do for anybody who comes in, and then you get somebody who wants to put a.
A $300,000 building up, yeah.
And you say, well, we'll give you $10,000.
Yeah, so I don't think we can set.
For a guy to make a $20,000 improvement, that's.
You can't do that.
Right.
No, that's
why
that's totally ridiculous.
And if you got a written policy that this is how we're gonna do it, you gotta treat everybody under that policy.
It's been for a while, I mean, it wasn't that they did.
When did it?
First of the year.
It hasn't shown up on your tax, it'll be assessed, it opened up in 2026. So it'll be fully assessed in 2027, and it'll be 2028 before you see the TIF increment from that. What did they ask you?
No, it's 25.
I know, but what did they ask you?
How long did it open?
Anything?
We plowed snow there last winter.
No liquor license.
I don't know.
So, that's a big improvement from where they were, and I realize they closed two other buildings, but now those other buildings are available for some other use. Now, they're not gonna want another gas station in either one of them. But I think the one in Mount Sterling was resold for heating and air conditioning company. I think there was another one, trying to remember where it was now, that's been converted to some kind of an office building, you know, so. Those are good structures, and they both can be incentivized.
No stop a financial place.
Yes, exactly. One up by Hy-Vee.
They don't want any gas, no Stop and Shop, and no gambling.
Right.
That's three of the biggest requirements.
They just don't want a competitor.
Yeah, right.
But otherwise, you should be able to market the dickens out of those with your TIF to be able to attract somebody to want to reinvest in those.
Well, these are also really hopeful ideas.
Stop talking. You don't have anything else to do.
That's so good.
We need, somebody needs to adjourn the meeting. Okay, at six.
You're welcome, thank you.
6:17.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, everyone, thank you for coming. Roll call. Alderperson Sally Clark.
Here.
Jim Long.
Here.
Brad Ward.
Here.
Kendall Miller.
Here.
Dave Livingston.
Here.
Botlow's absent. And I'm here, Mayor Goddard. And so we have a quorum. And approve the minutes of February 24th.
I move to approve the minutes of February 24th, 26th, council meetings and committee meetings.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Pose? Okay, all right. Treasurer's report, we have none. Attorney's report, Attorney Collins?
Nothing, thank you.
Okay. And no engineer. Any public comments, petitions? No? Okay, committees, groups. Finance, insurance, zoning, Alderwoman Sally Clark.
Nothing to report this time.
Okay. Sewer, Alderman Livingston?
Nothing.
Streets and alleys, Alderman Long?
Nothing.
Okay. Police, ESDA, Alderman Ward?
Did you have anything on that?
Yeah, I got something that's on there. I talked to the mayor shortly after we had the problem with the north and south siren, and said we need to get a grant from somewhere. I went out to talk to the high school principal, and they're gonna work right up a grant to replace the north and south siren. It'd be like the one here, hopefully. Everything seems to be working all right now. We check on it every now and then when it's nice out, you're not freezing to death, but we're working on our emergency response guidelines. They need to be updated. They were last updated in 1993. So I'm gonna get with Botlow and maybe the fire department has some already updated. We work together and get it done. Storm spotting class Thursday night in Havana. And then we're gonna be in Canton next month, I think on the 18th. Anyway, we're getting everything ready for this ESDA truck. We have everything that we need, lights, radios, and whatever. We may have to find somebody to put those down as the decal on the doors, and that's it. But it should be here sometime this week yet, hopefully.
Chris, did you have anything on the police side? Tell them what's on the wall.
So what's later on the agenda is the tires and maintenance stuff for the Durango, and then hiring another officer. Tanner's doing good. He's still passing all of his stuff down to the academy. So that's going well. And stairwell is jumping over to the brown shirts on March 2nd. So we'll be down to two guys, me and DeWester, until Tanner gets out of the academy. And then we got to get him through FTO, through field training. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So we're going to do our best to try to make that work and kind of go from there. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Water, Alderman Miller.
I don't have anything at this time.
Utilities, publications, buildings and grounds, Alderman Long.
Nothing.
Tourism, Alderman Miller.
Yeah, one thing's coming up Thursday night. The visitor center is the coal mining in Fulton County. It's a free presentation, so if you can make it, I think it starts at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of families in this area had people from the coal mines. And then also, too, tomorrow, I'm going down to represent the city for it's an economic development meeting for rural development and that, so in Springfield. And I believe Aaron's going also, so representing Chamber and of course, the city of Lewistown also. So hopefully, we can come away with some good stuff. That's all I have under tourism.
Okay, thank you. This is under tourism, but I wanted to mention it. I've talked to a lady from OSF, and they want to bring a mobile unit to Lewiston.
Oh,
and it's gonna start in April. First one will just be a small unit that they drive. They're gonna park by the visitor center on Tuesdays when the bread is being distributed so they can get to meet people. The first one's just like check blood pressures, blood sugar, just random stuff like that. Give them handout information. It's all free. They're gonna be here like from 1 to 4 or something like that on one day a month.
Oh, you don't know the date yet?
No.
Okay.
Just in April. She said they're still working on getting all their who's gonna work, do okay. What. After that, if they have a good response and they think they're gonna see a lot of people, they're gonna bring a bigger unit that'll have a doctor and a nurse on it. And then they can do like checks like after surgeries maybe, you know, so people don't have to go to Peoria, they can draw blood, you know, super removal, just different things like that. But that'll be later on.
Yeah.
But just want to let you know if, you know, and they said they'll see anybody, you don't have to see an OSF doctor. You know, if you need to something checked, you can stop. You don't have to be see one of their doctors. So I thought that might be nice.
I think that's really nice.
So okay, TIF, Aldrin Spotlow's absent. Citizens Committee, Amanda's not here. Christmas Committee, Kenny's not here. Economic Development, Aaron, anything?
Well, the meeting you and I had, I think was since the last meeting, right? With the Brownfield, you were on the Zoom meeting. Okay. Did you take away a lot from it?
No.
Okay.
I didn't, not really.
Okay. So that group has a $1.2 million grant, and they already have eyeballs on Lewistown as being able to help Lewistown and the downtown of Lewistown. And so the notes that I took on it was that it really depends on what code enforcement looks like in the town and the level of participation from the city and the owners, and that the $1.2 million can be used for community assessment, reuse planning, positioning sites for other funding, moving sites forward, and having land banks as the support. And in the grant, they can pay for infrastructure analysis, architects, and funding studies. They already secured this $1.2 million. So Victoria is also monitoring larger grant funding opportunities, including an expected EIDR round relevant to small community projects that's supposed to be, they thought was going to be released at the end of February. They asked to follow up with Lewistown to explore specific avenues and funding options for the downtown development. And then they are already working on a phased template for multiple Lewistown sites that includes structural analysis and reuse planning, aiming at standardizing interventions instead of solving each site individually. Ownership and tax issues can impede grant eligibility for sites and drive interest in, which drives interest in the land bank to control and secure the sites for intervention. So basically the land bank removes the roadblocks once you have, you know, I listened to the last meeting and it sounded like, well, maybe we could do code enforcement or maybe we could do something, but then you don't know what to do, what else. I heard a lot of like, well, we don't know what to do. And I really think this is like, the analogy that somebody used was like you have to get from point A to point B, and you need a car to get there. That's your best mode of transportation. You don't have to know everything about the car, how it works. You don't really have to worry about, you know, breaking down. You just have to get in it and try and get from point A to point B. And so that's kind of what this is. So she said that they could have a separate meeting with Lewistown to answer any questions, and I'd love to help try and get that set up, because otherwise there's not much else I can do. Like, this is really, the city has to drive the bus for the land bank or anything else. And there is funding without the land bank, but the land bank is just another tool that helps them actually move things forward. And then two of the buildings have signed the paperwork to move forward with that, so.
Did he say that he'd sell those for $6,000?
He told me that for $6,000 he would sell those buildings. That was about a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah, that was about a year ago. And from my understanding, which again was one of the questions, is that the land bank helps secure and then it takes it out of the city's hands. So like there's a lot of things that then they can do behind the scenes because they have control and they can just start moving really quickly with it. So However, there's a couple of different ways I think that they take those buildings, that they would work with the owner, you know, so I don't think he would be unhappy about not having, you know, those two buildings, quite honestly, but any questions can be answered in a separate meeting, and like I said, they're already working.
I mean, I got some stuff out of it, but I just wasn't enough to try to explain it to anybody.
Yeah. Well, and it was a lot of information they sent, which I think you got too. They sent the note form. They did like an AI note form.
Oh, I didn't get that.
I can forward it to you.
Okay.
But it's the whole meeting, and so then that's when I went back and took notes.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm like, I don't remember what all was said, and...
Yeah. The other thing I took from it is, I think it's McComb has a new economic development director that's been there for a month. He's real excited about it. We're at the front of the line. They're already talking about what they can do.
And they said that we've already, like, basically done the first step.
And we did the first step.
Yeah.
And so we're at the front of the line to get such an amazing opportunity, quite honestly. And they're tapped in. Did anyone else know that IGA is releasing a round of funding at the end of February? No. These people are tapped into that funding. Why aren't we in line for it? Is kind of the way I look at it. So if you want to come up with a meeting time, I can email her. She'll probably be there tomorrow, too, so you can let me know if you want to move forward. And then just one other thing on that, I have the Mauer and Sutz invoices.
Okay, yeah, we need those to get paid.
Okay, yeah,
so we can pay them.
I have all that. So I think you guys agreed on $2,500. Leap is putting in $1,000 from the Leap account, and then the Chamber agreed to pay the remaining, like, $127.
Okay.
So, and I did a self-addressed stamp envelope, so I'll grab
that. Yeah, leave those with me. Do you guys want to think about it a little bit more, schedule a meeting with this Victoria Livingston again to see, you know, like I said, you know, like we've said, we can use $6,000 out of the TIF to pay that, so.
And if it needs to be that LEAP applies with the TIF money, like, I don't know how all that works, but if you all figure that out, like, LEAP could be, like, LEAP via the partnership, the Spoon River partnership, could apply for the TIF funding for the land bank.
Okay.
Yeah, so however that works out.
Well, I think we can do it directly also.
Okay, we can directly do that.
Even better.
Yeah. Right. The land bank doesn't come up with financing to, like, take that from them, or to purchase it from them.
They look at grant funding.
Okay.
They look at, like, the next steps. Their goal is to basically hand you over reusable buildings.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, probably get it.
Yeah, and they have, you know, they have a lot of people that write grants that know where to find them.
Yeah.
And they're professionals, so they know what all, you know, is needed in those grants.
I think it'd be a good idea.
And I just think, okay, we're not getting very far.
Yeah, I think we need to move.
Going.
I think we need to move on these things as soon as we can.
I mean, if we're going to miss out on an opportunity, if we just say, well, let's kick it down the road, maybe next year, they're going to move with this money because they have that.
We're not going to get any.
Yeah,
for sure.
We need a meeting.
And like I know they said that, because I heard her say, we've already done the first step.
Yes.
So we can go ahead and get started on the next step.
That's a good idea.
So, well, I'll just get with you and we'll figure out meeting time.
Yeah, definitely need to.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Public Works report, Evan?
I have nothing.
Okay. All right. Unfinished business. And it's the buildings we were just talking about. Discuss act upon buildings on Main Street. I found this today. I'm cleaning out the safe. So this was a resolution in 1984. And McClure Engineering had looked at those buildings because somebody wanted to put a business in there. Kate's, and I remember this, Kate's Mini Mart wanted to go in there. Okay, it says, dated December 6, 1984, declares said building to be unsuitable for occupancy and a dangerous and unsafe building pursuant to the statutes of the state of Illinois. Therefore, be it and is hereby ordained by the City Council, City of Lewistown. The building located on following described real estate is declared to be dangerous and unsafe building. So, 1984,
and
they were declared unsafe.
And business.
And now it's 2026.
And she had ran that business in there. She was running it at that time.
She was running it at that time, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I run across that.
I think there was something else going on at that time, so.
42 years ago.
Yeah.
That's kind of why.
So I'm like, it's time to do something, I think, with it. So.
Who was the mayor on there?
That was Braden.
Braden?
I think. Yeah, Braden.
I thought so. Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting on the council at the time, I think. So.
So we've waited long enough.
Yeah, I think we need to do something. We're ready now.
Yeah, we're ready. Okay, discuss act upon CD at Prairie State Bank. Everybody's got the amounts, the percentage rates.
Looks like the 24 month that I pay the state bank is the best rate.
It is.
It wouldn't hurt anything tying it up that long.
Yeah, it's 173,000. It's, I think it's been there at Prairie quite a while.
I don't see a problem tying up 24 months.
You can always get it back out if you absolutely have to.
Yeah, sometimes there's penalties, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to move it to that Pavis State Bank for 24 months at 3.8%.
I'll second that.
Where is it at now?
It's a prairie.
Prairie.
Oh, it is a prairie.
Yep.
Oh, I see that now. I looked on the agenda. I was looking on this paper.
Okay, roll call. Oliver Sally Clark?
Aye.
Jim Long?
Aye.
Brad Ward?
Aye.
Kendall Miller?
Aye.
Dave Livingston?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Discuss act upon tire quote for police.
Durango needs tires. It's 2 years old. It's been getting rain a lot. But tires are very expensive nowadays, so I wanted to get approval before I went ahead and did that part of the maintenance on it. I think it also needs brakes done, but that is a secondary thing that will just have to be a maintenance thing. But I guess it's like $1,800 for the tires or something like that. So I wanted to make sure that you guys knew where that money was going.
And this will be out of your budget?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get bids from anywhere else or just this one guy?
Well, Harman's is the only one that carries the Z-rated, pursuit-rated tires that can get them. I can go to Kelly Tires or something like that and get a quote from them too.
I didn't know there was such a thing as Z-rated pursuit tires.
Yeah, they're special for police.
Yeah, they are.
I see.
Do you want to send David on yours?
Huh?
You want to set on your truck? We'll get you a set put on your truck.
No, maybe not. Okay. All I do is cruise around town like the cop does, so I don't need pursuit tires.
Well, I did get the chance.
The only difference between me and the cop is I don't sit at the firehouse parking lot for endless hours. That's the only difference.
I think that is awful. Don't be talking like that.
But I will tell you, Dave, that I don't ever sit in my parking lot because I don't want to get hit by a fire truck. So.
They sit there a lot.
I know. I've seen them sitting there during the day running radar down Main Street. I know.
Well, at least
be invisible.
At least when they're sitting in a parking place, I think that's the perfect spot.
Well, you guys also have to remember, you've got LPR in that Durango. They've got LPR in that Durango. So if anything goes by them, they get a hit on it. That's right on Main Street. That's a good spot to sit.
Yeah.
They might find my license plates or something, right?
Yeah. They could go by it and don't get a hit because they're in the system of stolen.
Yeah. They can take the side street, she'll be fine.
Just
no, somebody stole his license plates.
Real quick for what it's worth, one of my trucks sitting down on my lot with my backhoe. Somebody stole license plates off of it. No kidding.
Well, you better be glad he's sitting up there then.
Yep.
Well, like I said, and those plates are interstolen, so if they go by the Durango, they'll get a hit.
They'll get
a hit. Yeah, see, we might
We can get your plates back.
This is all the same.
And we'll have good tires to pursue them.
Well, if they run, we'll chase them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll make a motion that we approve the four tires, 360, 168 each. Just make sure they take that tax off the run.
Yeah, I'll.
I will second that. David, you're on your own.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, roll call. Alderperson Sally Clark?
Aye.
Jim Long?
Aye.
Brad Ward?
Aye.
Kendall Miller?
Aye.
Dave Livingston?
Aye.
Okay. Discuss, act upon library tax amount to be given to the library, which we do every year.
Every year.
And looks like the library share this year is $7,710.31. So they'll be happy to get that.
Yes, they will.
A motion and a second to approve that.
I make a motion we give the library a share.
Okay. Okay. Alderperson Sally Clark?
Aye.
Jim Long?
Aye.
Brad Ward?
Aye.
Kendall Miller?
Aye.
David Livingston?
Aye.
Okay. Discuss act upon hiring a new officer.
That's on you.
Yeah. March 2nd, we're going to be a guy short again. So we were up to full staff for about 3 seconds. So, but if just need approval to basically to hire another guy to get us back up to strength. So I don't anticipate, Dwester's not going to go anywhere. I don't think Tanner probably will because he's a little kid. He's from here in town. So hopefully I can find another guy like that that won't jump ship quickly. But just need approval to hire a guy.
Make a motion to give him approval to hire a guy.
I don't know whether we actually, just because he'll bring the person forward, I think we take applications, bring an application when you're ready.
Yeah, that's it. And then when I already put a post about taking
motion.
Applications. Which turned into an absolute zoo earlier today.
Oh my.
So I took that post down and reposted it and turned off all the comments on Facebook. So it's back up, so we should be getting applications. I know there's three people right now that have already gotten applications and started to fill them out. And hopefully we get some more and we can do a full-on interview testing process and all that stuff and pick out one that's going to serve the city well.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Anyway, okay. Discuss act upon agreement with John Ballot. Okay, this is, do you want me to explain it? And Nathan, you want to?
Tell me. I'm getting paid to be here. I don't think you are. So
okay.
If you want me to, I can.
Okay.
Let's just do it in layman terms now.
You got those crayons?
No, you took them home.
Okay, so it's been reported to me by the mayor that the previous mayor, Doug Leferry, had kind of made a handshake deal with John Ballot that the city would tear down that property located over on Avenue C, the one that burnt, for basically the cost of the dumpsters. So John Ballot and Curtis Ballot, being the owners of that property, would pay the cost of the dumpsters as well as the landfill fees, I guess?
Yeah.
And hauling fees. So all costs associated with procuring the dumpsters and emptying the dumpsters for the city to then go in and provide the balance of the labor, equipment, et cetera, to raise that house and grade it off. So we thought best to put together an agreement, one, to give us legal and lawful access by contract to the property to tear it down, and two, just to clarify if there were ever any lapses of understanding, what have you, between now and whenever we got it tore down. So we put together this agreement. It kind of, it's very basic in nature, but it allows us to go on the property and get rid of the structure, grade it off, and they will pay for the dumpsters, the city will pay for the rest. Again, that's all based upon Doug Leferry's kind of handshake agreement. I don't know of anything that's ever been put in writing to that effect, but or formally added to the minutes by agenda or item or anything like that in a meeting. But that's what's being proposed in this agreement. I don't know if Malotz have reviewed that yet or not, but basically you guys would be authorizing the mayor to enter into this agreement if you pass it. So normally what we do is we apply for the court to grant a judgment that says we can go on and demolish the property as being unsafe and dangerous. We would then have a lien against the property for the full amount of the cost of the demolition. And then whenever it's sold for $1,000 or $1,500, we would get whatever the attorney's done with that. This is most likely a much better deal for the city than going that route. And this lot is not, I want to be clear, because Cindy pointed this out, and I went back and looked, and sure enough, this lot does not go to the corner as it appears it does.
Right.
It's a very small side yard on both sides of this house, so that lot is not going to be worth a tremendous amount of money to anybody. So.
But I bet you I know who will buy it.
He probably won't sell it to her.
Probably not.
Hates her with a package.
I'll make a motion to give the mayor the authority to do this. We gotta get it cleaned up.
I have a question for Evan.
Yeah.
Would it be cheaper to get a truck down there instead of renting the dumpsters?
You can
slow the process down.
They're paying for the dumpsters.
I figured everything when we do all the time clean up, dumpsters are the way to go for us.
Okay.
Yeah, they're paying for the dumpsters.
Didn't know if getting a truck or two trucks.
And trying to, if they go, you know, you guys go through with this, obviously then you're looking at more labor because now you're doing this, you're traveling, this is just crunch up, fill up, and then.
Yeah, I think we'll stick with the agreement.
Yeah, because right now he's going to have to pay for all
that. That way we're legal.
Yep.
Okay, be my second.
Since they're paying for it, don't worry about it. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll second that emotion.
Okay, roll call. Alderperson Sally Clark.
Aye.
Jim Long.
Aye.
Brad Ward.
Aye.
Kendall Miller.
Aye.
Dave Livingston.
Aye.
Okay. Discuss act upon Jan Skoglaser liquor application. And she's got one now, but they are changing buildings, correct?
Correct.
And wanting to change the name.
Everything's changed. It's a brand new business. State of Illinois Gaming won't let you pick up a business and move it. You have to start from scratch.
Oh.
And I'm just not doing this for the heck of it. Everybody needs to know that my landlord gave me notice in December that I had to move by February because her son was moving back to town and he wants to start a sandwich shop. So by the time she called me about 4 weeks later, I pretty much had an agreement to buy a house. So we decided I don't like to be not knowing where I'm going to be next month. So we decided to buy a property, which is Penny Smith's property down by the railroad tracks. We're going to be refurbishing it and then opening it as a brand new business. So what I plan to do is stay, PJ's Spin When will stay open until I get approved for my license through the state. As soon as I do, we'll close down for like 3 days or 5 days, close the one business and open a brand new one.
And can you take those machines with you?
They're going to let me. I didn't think they were, but they're going to, they have to load them up, take them to Bloomington, and inventory them back in. But they're going to let me have them because
they'll bring them back and set them all up for you.
Yep.
Should I just go through the liquor commission first?
I don't know if they need to when she already had one and just moving.
What was the question?
It's not like he wanted to know if we should have went before the liquor commission meeting.
Yes.
And I.
She's already got
it.
But she's starting to hold
it. The same.
It'll be totally different.
It'll be a different business,
everything.
But it's still the same person.
But it's under her name.
But it is an LLC. Yeah. Opened an LLC.
Yeah, see, I think you still have to, because the state's requiring it.
Okay.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, it's just a formality, but I think you follow all your steps. For everybody else that applies for a liquor license, they don't bypass that step.
Call liquor commission meeting.
That's what we did for Casey's, correct? They applied for a brand new license.
Yeah.
So you guys can do this anytime, as far as approving this, but just approve it conditional upon her surrendering the other license. So we don't end up with over issuance issues or problems like that. So it's a provisional issuance once you approve it. The provision being PJ Spin and Win forfeits their license.
Okay, so you guys want, we need to have a liquor commission meeting then before the next meeting?
Well, we probably should.
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be a problem.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Next is, so we'll have, Janice said before the next meeting, we'll have a liquor commission meeting.
Okay, that's fine, thank you.
Okay. Let's see, presentation of bills, approve bills properly endorsed.
Make a motion to approve the bills properly endorsed.
Okay. Alder Person Sally Clark?
Aye.
Yum Long?
Aye.
Brad Ward?
Aye.
Kendall Miller?
Aye.
Dave Livingston?
Aye.
Okay, we need to go into closed session pending or threatened litigation. So everyone, let's see, can go out in the hallway. If you want to stay, you can come back in when the door's open.
You broke the record, you never said no to anything.
I know. I wanted to.
Evan can stay, can he?
Yeah.
Okay, Evan, I think he knew.
Yeah. We might as well stick around.
Is this a Frank thing or?
Resume regular council meeting at 7:33. Doors are opened. Anybody out there?
Just Roger and Denny's in the office.
Okay. I'm going to adjourn now, I think.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for attending.
So I'm